Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
Well, we're approaching the 4th of July, and I'm trying to figure out if it's a 4th of July weekend or if it's 4th of July week. Many businesses I know are letting their offices be closed tomorrow, which I actually caved to that as well because I just started feeling really guilty. Like, do I bring my employees in for one day and then they're off and then they're back? And so I thought I'd earn some brownie points with my employees and say, okay, everybody can take Monday off. So technically, if you're one of those lucky people working for a company that has Monday off, you have a four-day weekend, which actually goes into the week. So congratulations to you. But if you're not, well, let us entertain you at least for the next hour. I want to thank our sponsor, Premama. Premama is the healthy way to give you and your baby the vitamins that you need, the vitamins and nutrients while you're pregnant. And now they have new formulas for fertility and lactation. It's a product line with complete maternal wellness, and you can find it online at CVS, Target, Amazon, and other specialty stores. And you can follow along with Premama at drinkpremama.com. So, 4th of July, I'm thinking that many of us, and I'm wondering what your attitudes are about sparklers and fireworks. You're going to have that big discussion with your children about not playing with fireworks, even though they want to, of course, play with the fireworks. I know that that was an annual struggle for me. And, you know, those things can be dangerous because they can put your eye out, not to mention or try to quote a famous BB gun Christmas movie, but really, we live in Florida, and we had a firework go off across the canal and hit a woman in the eye on her dock, and she lost her eye, which is a terrible thing. So if you do opt to do the fireworks this week, be careful of where you let them off and who is playing with the matches. And one other note, as we are approaching the middle of the summer, don't forget about water safety. Whether you're taking your children to a hotel or to grandma's house, make sure when you get there that the gates around the pool are locked and you are watching your children at all times around any kind of water, particularly if you're coming to the state of Florida where I live. You want to be careful of all of the pools that we have here and all of the lakes that we have with alligators. So two things you got to be aware of when you travel to Florida. We are going to take a short break. And when we return, our first guest is actually joining us from a land far away and is with Right Voice Facilitator. We'll be talking with her in just a second.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
Sylvia Puentes is a Right Voice facilitator who has spent more than 17 years both as a teacher and in developing academic programs. For 7 years as a Right Voice coach, she helps parents and families bring out the best in their kids, working on life lessons and educates parents about how they can help their kids come into their own as smart kids who go beyond academic learning and embrace their creativity. And we're so excited to have Sylvia with us today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Sylvia.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about what is a facilitator, a Right Voice facilitator?
So the body of work is Right Voice for You, and it's a body of work that is a branch of Access Consciousness, and it really is about empowering people to begin to have a voice, to really begin to ask what is it that they know, what is it that they'd like to see in the world, and one of the things that I really appreciate about bringing this to parents and kids is that we often lose that as adults and as kids, where we're, you know, either mimicking or just following what we think we need to do and should do, rather than beginning to go, wait, what is it that I know? So their tools, their techniques, just different ways to begin to open up that space for kids and parents to feel empowered and have their voice.
And so when you say raising smart kids, how do you define a smart child?
Well, it's interesting. You know, oftentimes we look at a smart child by either their IQ or their academic grades. And I would really love to see the world begin to look at it from a much wider spectrum, in a sense where a smart kid really has this trust of themselves and what it is they know, and they're actually in the question of what their choices are going to create in the world, you know, maybe in the next 24 hours, but also in their future and in the future of the world. So it's this feel of really beginning to go, wow, what is it that I would like to see in the world, and what can I choose today?
And so you talk about intangibles that can be taught at home. You know, what are those intangibles?
Well, again, it's like really beginning, and this is a piece that I myself as a parent, as, you know, a teacher, really beginning to step out of having to tell our kids directly what to do, but beginning to ask them in moments where, you know, you have that space, whether it's with food, whether it's with their sleep, whether it's with a choice with homework or the video games, but begin to get them to get a sense of, hey, what would you like to do? How is this going to work best for you? One example could be a child that, you know, choosing their food and they're resisting maybe their vegetables, and just really noticing as parents how strong of a point of view we have that they need to eat certain foods at certain times, and really beginning to ask the child, hey, would you like to eat? And really beginning to give them that choice and develop a smart kid that goes, wow, actually, no, I'm not really hungry.
So what about those experts who say that we need to create boundaries for our children and, you know, that mother knows best? I mean, there's a lot of experts that would argue against that kind of approach in letting children have too many choices. Or so how do you speak to that?
Well, one of the things that I begin to see with, you know, children of different ages is that children, especially once they get to adolescence, they start to resist and fight a lot of the boundaries that have been created. And many of them may choose, you know, perhaps choices that don't really create a lot for their world or their lives. So there really is, that's what I'm defining smart kids totally different, because it is, I mean, I get that within your home, as a parent, you're going to know what's going to work best for you. But if we're looking to create young adults that are out being creative, looking to see what else we require as a whole entire world, different, whether it's in politics or science or health, we really need to tap into what it is that they know that they may have totally different than what we've had in the past or even in our own life as parents. So I think this is a new muscle for parents and as well as for kids. Because so many kids, you ask them, well, what do you know? What would you like? They might answer you, I don't know. Because it's not, they don't even have a sense of what to trust anymore.
So would it be contradictory to this style of parenting if you gave them choices, but you limited the number of choices? So, I mean, because certainly you can't, if you have four children running around, and I'm just going to speak for the moms that I know that are listening who maybe have four children running around and saying, okay, wait a minute, this just doesn't make sense for my lifestyle. If I have four kids and I'm allowing every four, you know, all four of them to make their own choices, that's crazy. You know, like you're going to be in the kitchen for 10 hours because number one wants to eat at 2 o'clock, the next one wants to eat at 3. So how does that work in the real world of a mom making macaroni and cheese right now in her kitchen?
Yes, no, definitely. And again, every parent's going to know every situation is different, every schedule is different, whatever you're serving is different depending where you live. But what if it really was like, hey, I'm serving macaroni and cheese today. Is anyone hungry? And then it really is a choice whether they eat or not.
So what are you saying? So then when the kid is hungry 2 hours later and you're in the middle of transporting another child to soccer, then what happens in that scenario?
Yeah, so then it's like really beginning to know. It's like, okay, you have four kids here running around. It's like, what, as a parent, it's like, wow, what do I need to prepare so they have what they require? And it's also like, hey, I've packed this. And then beginning to empower our kids and go, hey, okay, this is what I'm serving now, and we're going to head out of the house soon. If you'd like anything else, given their ages, depending on their ages, but maybe they'll actually start to go, okay, can I take an apple or some crackers or whatever they choose to pack.
So what about teaching them conformity, though? I mean, is there a balance between teaching them this creativity? And, I mean, let's be real, when you grow up, you have to conform. I mean, you're not going to walk out of your office at 3 o'clock and say, hey, you guys, I feel like eating right now, so I'm eating at 3, right? Even though the rest of the office might operate on a noon to 1 o'clock lunch schedule. So where does teaching your children conformity fit into this?
Well, you know, let's just continue with that example you have of a family with four kids. It's really, you know, when someone's throwing a tantrum because they're hungry, it's like, hey, I'm really sorry. Like, really also getting the space. You know, I offered the food at that time, and right now, given our schedule, this is all I have. Because really there is a sense of, one is like getting to know that you're in a family of four or maybe six, right? And you got to also take into consideration your brothers, your sisters, your parents, and the schedule. Yes, but it's so much space of like, wow, mom's working real hard to do this for us. She's given us options. What can I do? And this is where then again the question to the child is like, hey, given our schedule, is there something different you would like to do?
Yeah, it's a really interesting argument, and unfortunately we're out of time, but it's really great. I love when we have different perspective on how to raise children, and you can learn more about The Right Voice by going to rightvoiceforyou.com. Thank you so much, Sylvia, for joining us. And when we return, we're going to put the spotlight on Kayla Berg and hear how she balances her children, business, and her marriage.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I'm delighted to have with us today Kayla Berg. She has a website and blog called KaylaBerg.com. That's with a K. And we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. But she's the mother of a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I am excited to have her with us today. We're going to talk a little bit about marriage, kids, and business. Three big, big topics in the world of moms. So welcome, Kayla, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
Well, thank you for being here. So kids and business and kid and business proofing your marriage and why your relationship always gets put last. Why do you think that is?
I think it happens because it's the easiest thing to put last. Your business, you need to be making money. You've got clients calling you. You've got your kids who are with their sticky fingers all over you, all over the window. They're knocking things over. They're running around. They need to get to appointments, all of that mom chaos things. And one of the easiest things to let go is just time for you and your partner.
And so how do you make that time with your partner? I mean, a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old is kind of demanding.
We are very lucky that we have awesome support in the grandparents, and they do take our boys. And even if we didn't have that support, we would be hiring a babysitter. We decided early on that it was going to be very important for us to put each other, if not number one all the time, number one when we can, to make it a priority to carve out that time, even if it's just 15 minutes. We often have 15-minute dates.
And, okay, so for 15, I was going to ask, what do you do for this 15 minutes? I mean, that's a pretty short date, but remember, we're on the radio, so, do you do creative dates? I mean, like, because sometimes, you know, dates get old, right?
Yes, it's more about the focusing one-on-one with him. It's the mindfully putting aside all of the life and the business and the children and what's going on with them, and just taking a moment to look at him as a living and breathing person with a heart and soul, dreams and goals, that is also in the mess with me. He's in the chaos, and if I just take 15 minutes and he takes 15 minutes and we just actually just connect, and like, whether it's just like a hug, really long hug, or whether we're doing other stuff, or whether we are just sitting on the couch and holding hands watching TV, just taking that 15 minutes and chatting with him and realizing that he is the person that I most want to be with in this time of life, in this chaos, in this madness.
So what do you think happens when you find yourself, how long have you guys been married?
Married 5 years this July, actually, and we have been together for almost 9 years.
Oh, that's awesome. So let's say you get, 10 years down the road and you feel like you're getting in that limbo stage. How do you know that you're in that limbo stage? And then what do you do?
Well, limbo is basically the, am I fully in this? Or actually, it's the question, should I stay or should I go? Is basically mm-hmm. what the limbo state is. And it's where you're not fully all into your marriage anymore, and you're not fully out. You're kind of questioning what's going on. Mm-hmm. And if you're getting to that point, it's really easy to just stay there for years. And it's actually a really painful place to be, because you're not actually, like I said, you're not all in and you're not all out. So you're just kind of in there maintaining, not really together, not really enjoying each other anymore, but not really wanting to explore what's going to be outside the marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really hard place to be.
And so you have this gift of relationship intuition, and you do relationship readings. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I discovered actually quite recently that when people talk to me about their relationships or even about their partners, I get this vivid visual about them and their energy and their relationship and what it's like for them. It's usually a very big nature image, and it just kind of shows me just the energy that this couple has together and whether they're both mm-hmm. in it. And from there, I'll get some intuitive hits and really start to understand what is going on for them. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty wonderful. And I'm enjoying doing it. And the couples that I've had the pleasure of doing the readings for have all enjoyed it as well.
So we just have one more minute, and you've been kind enough to offer a free relationship reading to our guests. Can you just tell us how and let everyone know how they can find you and take advantage of that?
Yeah, pretty simply, just send me an email to info@kaylaberg.com, and it's info@kaylaberg.com, and just put as the heading relationship reading. It'll be a sort of free 45-minute reading, and we will just get on the phone and kind of talk about what's going on for them.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We have a link to kaylaberg.com on our site, and really great stuff. Very generous of you. So thank you, Kayla, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to dig into the archives, bring back Margot Machel Biznow, who joined us a few months ago. It was so enlightening that I'd like to bring her back when we return.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
I love raising entrepreneurial children. I think it's, out of all of the types of children that you could raise, or the focus that you put on the type of child you'd raise, I think that raising an entrepreneurial child really creates a solution finder and someone who is flexible and someone who wants to roll up their sleeves. And I was so delighted when I saw this book come across my desk, Raising an Entrepreneur, 10 Rules for Nurturing Risk Takers, Problem Solvers, and Change Makers. The author is Margot Machel Biznow, and she is here with us today. She has done amazing things, and I want to get right to her so that she can share some of her wisdom with you. So welcome, Margot, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So I think that the generation of children coming up have an attitude, a can-do attitude, because of technology. But I'm wondering what we can do as parents to breed that entrepreneurial spirit where they take that can-do attitude and turn it into something great for themselves.
That is a wonderful question. And I love the fact that you talk about entrepreneurial, because I think so many people, when they hear entrepreneur, they turn off and they think, ooh, just a tech geek. But for me, an entrepreneurial child or an entrepreneur is anyone who starts something. So it's a for-profit company, a nonprofit, it's artists, it's activists, it's even people who start projects within other companies. So it's just getting that mindset, like you're saying, that entrepreneurial mindset where they can do anything.
And so what did you do to write the book? Did you talk to parents? Did you do research? Tell me a little bit about that process.
I did research. I read every book I could get my hands on. But the most important thing was that I talked to 60 entrepreneurs and or their moms about how they were raised.
And so what did you find?
Well, I found these 10 rules. I took everything I learned in from the conversations, and I distilled them into 10 different rules. But the most important rule, the rule that every single entrepreneur I talk to, is that they all had a parent, generally their mom, who believed in them. And people say, oh, everyone believes in their child. But that's not true. Everyone loves their child. But that's a very different thing.
So give me an example. What would be the difference of a mom who loves their child and a mom who believes in their child? So just everyday practicality.
My younger son has always loved music. Most parents with a child like my son Austin say things like, of course you can take music lessons in high school, but in college you have to major in something useful, or major in business and minor in music, or at least get a teaching certificate so you have something to fall back on when the music thing fails. So what does that communicate to the child?
Right, that you need a prenup.
Well, makes the parents, I think the parents are convinced that their children have to do something practical. And in fact, that's just not true. And in fact, it's counterproductive. I think many children, almost probably every child is born with a passion, but it gets snuffed out by well-intentioned parents. And I want parents to relax and to let kids follow their dreams.
You know, that is so interesting because I'm actually going through that right now where my daughter is auditioning for musical theater programs in for college. And a lot of her peers, I hear exactly what you just said. Their parents are going, and they're saying it to me, and I know they're saying it in front of their children, like, oh, you know, she really wants to pursue this drama thing, but I keep telling her that it's not practical or it's too hard of a road and so your example totally resonates. Like, I'm hearing that every single day from parents.
Yeah, so, one of the people I interviewed in the book is Jeff Marx's mom. He wrote Avenue Q, and he's written a lot of other musicals and songs, and everybody sort of laughed at her all along the way. And she believed in his talent. And
yeah, that's funny. It's not funny. It's a really, really great example. So what about helicopter parenting? Is it good or is it bad? I mean, is there a difference in believing in your child and letting them go and pursue it? Like, where's the boundaries there?
So that was one of the many surprises for me in the book, is that I thought that more parents would be more involved than a lot of them were. I think that a lot of the parents who try to solve their kids' problems for them end up finding that their kids don't know how to solve problems themselves. Esther Wojcicki, who one of her daughters is CEO of YouTube and one is founded 23andMe. And she says, every time I do something for them, that's something they don't know how to do for themselves. Mm-hmm. And some of the parents were very involved, but a lot of the parents were so busy with their own lives and with their own jobs. But the kids always said, like, my parents worked two jobs and they weren't there much, but I always knew that if I needed them, they were there. And I always knew they trusted me.
Yeah. You know, my husband, I'm not sure that I always agreed at the beginning, but he always had a saying, and that is, never do for a teenager what they can do for themselves.
Yeah.
And There were a couple times that maybe I took that to an extreme, like when the pediatrician would call and say, Mrs. Bailey, really, your children, you need to come to the doctor's appointment with your children. But, you know, if the orthodontist called and said, you know, I need to schedule an appointment, I would give them my child's cell phone number and say, you know what, they keep their own calendar. So could you please call them? But that's really, really great advice. So what is there anything else that the entrepreneurs had in common with their the way they were parented?
Well, so something that was so fascinating to me was that I purposely picked the most diverse group I could find. It's half men, it's half women. It's 20% minority. It's from families with only kids to three kids, five kids, seven kids. It's every race, every religion. It's from small towns. It's from big cities. It's born in the U.S. It's born in Canada. It's born overseas and emigrated here. It's every kind of family. It's families whose parents were, you know, doctors and lawyers and single moms who were barely making it.
What's the conclusion? Because we have to wrap pretty soon. What did you see?
They all believed in their child, and their child all knew that their parent trusted them and believed in them.
Well, really good lesson. And the book is called Raising an Entrepreneur, 10 Rules for Nurturing Risk Takers, Problem Solvers, and Change Makers.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I'm super excited to have with us Jess Volinsky. She is a graduate of the School of Visual Arts in New York City and the author-illustrator of more than 16 coloring books, including the popular Notebook Doodle series. And she's done all of that while balancing a family with two children and her husband. And she is here to talk a little bit about her business and her inspiration. Welcome, Jess, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, Maria. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Hey, so let me ask you, why do you think there's been this resurgence of coloring books?
Oh, what a great question. I think it has a lot to do with everybody needing to unplug and to just step away from social media and everything and just have a chance to be with your thoughts and make creative things. Because I think creativity gives us such confidence, especially for young people.
Well, and just this morning, I was looking at one of my daughter's Snapchats, and she had a coloring page, and it just said completed on it. And I thought about how much my girls love to color. And you have a strong passion for empowering girls. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I do. And that's awesome that your daughter is sharing coloring pages. Mm. I love that. I love getting them. And really, it's the best part of my job when I open my email or I get a message on Instagram where I'm getting, you know, someone's colored page. I get so excited. So, and I know I said unplugging from social media is important for your confidence. I think there's a moderation to it. You know, I think it can be a really great tool, but I think we also need to be able to step back. And I think there's this incredibly empowering feeling you get when you realize you can take something you imagine in your mind and make it real and then share that with people. And that's what creativity does for you. And it really helps build this internal confidence for girls. And that's different than an external confidence. Like social media like might give you an external confidence from getting some likes on something, but that's like a quick hit and then it's gone. But that internal confidence is with you always. And it's like a shield and it can protect you against everything the world throws at you. And I really believe it starts with creativity and just being empowered by being able to make your ideas come to life.
Right, right. So what about increasing mindfulness in this digital age? I know you have some real thoughts around that as well.
I do. And this is where I think coloring is a great activity you can do with someone in your life, like your kids or your nieces or your nephews. It's a great activity to sit down together and do because it really encourages you to calm down, to be very mindful, to focus your mind on just that one task, just coloring, just choosing colors. And it also allows a great conversation to start flowing when you're coloring with someone. It's not like sitting at the dinner table is great and having a conversation like that is great. But when you're coloring, you're usually next to each other. Maybe you're not having that intense eye contact, and you can just kind of talk more openly with each other. I have some great conversations with my daughter when we just sit down and color. It's a really special time.
Yeah, I can imagine. And the good thing is that no matter how young or old they are, you can still do that. You still can. It's something that everyone enjoys. And can you talk a little? So you've done all these coloring books and all these series, and you've done it with two kids. How do you balance your work and your kids running around as you're working at home? Because that's always a struggle.
It really is. It's an ongoing struggle. I do not have any easy answers. I have an incredibly supportive husband who also works at home. He's also an illustrator. So we've gotten it down where we're really good about balancing, and like he will help me out more with the kids when I'm on a deadline, and I'll help out more with the kids when he's on a deadline. So, you know, having a really supportive partner and people in your life that help you manage that time, I think, is essential. I couldn't do it without that. But it's hard, and there's some times where you're not as present as you want to be, even though you may be physically there, and you just make the most of the time you do have together where you're not working.
I love the fact that you just use that expression, being present, because it's true. A lot of times you could be a non-working parent and be in the home full time, and you're still not present. And
exactly.
I think whether you're in the home working or you're out of the home working, the key is being present with your children. And it doesn't mean just being physically there. It's looking them in the eyes when you're talking to them and really connecting with them. So I love the fact you brought that up.
And coloring can be a great way to do that if you have 10 minutes.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
Well, and the best thing is that, like, if you have a teenager and you have a 10-year-old and you have a 5-year-old, everybody can still do it. You just get the books and the pages that align with their age. So,
oh, absolutely,
Jess,
yeah.
I want to make sure I get your website in here as we say goodbye. You can find Jess and everything she does at jessv.com, JESSV.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing some of your day with us here on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be talking with the author of Not Always Happy.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV, your video destination online where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com. I'm excited to have with us today Kari Wagner-Peck. She's the author of Not Always Happy. She also authors the blog, Atypical Son, and she's here to talk about all the amazing things that she's done. You've probably read about her on Huffington Post and seen her on TV. Just she's everywhere, and now she's on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Kari, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks for having me.
So your book is called Not Always Happy, but it's subtitled An Unusual Parenting Journey. What was so unusual about your parenting journey?
My husband and I married while I was in my 40s. First, I said I would never even date him because he was 14 years younger than I was. And then I became a parent at 49 through adopting through the foster system. And we said we'd never adopt through the foster care system. We were hoping to adopt internationally. And then we said we wouldn't adopt a child with a disability, and we adopted a child with Down syndrome. So I'm either like the worst decision maker ever, or I've embracing letting life come to me.
And I think you've been blessed in some amazing ways. And
I have.
Yeah. So, why did you ultimately decide to adopt a child with special needs? There must have been something really special about this child when you looked at him.
Well, we didn't even see him for we didn't see his photo for a month. We agreed to adopt him before we saw him. You know, my husband and I heard we'd been through this sort of Byzantine system of the foster care adoption training. And, you know, we'd had these close calls with children that didn't work out and these other little setbacks. And when our foster care worker left the voicemail, she said, you know, there's this 2-year-old boy. He's really beautiful. He's a great kid. And he has Down syndrome. And, you know, we said we'd take a kid who is maybe colorblind or left-handed. So, and we both were struck by this really, this supreme feeling of calm. You know, and my husband said, well, you know, everyone has something. We know what his something is. And we just moved forward from that.
I know, but, you know, so, gosh, there's so many questions I want to ask you. Adopting a child with Down syndrome, yes, you know what there's something is, but that something will probably be something that you have to parent for the rest of your life. It's not like at 18, they're going to go away with their something, like many of us who have children that have ADD or whatever. That was pretty amazing that you accepted that at age 49.
We haven't accepted that. There are a lot of, you know, really the narrative of people with Down syndrome is not well known. We're still relying on old information. There are a lot of people with Down syndrome that live independently. They have jobs. They get married. There are people that drive cars. You know, I think the biggest obstacle for people with Down syndrome are people without Down syndrome. You know, we lowered the bar so much, we're not really sure what somebody's capable of. And so, no, we're, you know, if Thorin does need longer-term support, fine. But we're not deciding that at 10 years old, which is what he is
now. That's amazing. That's a wonderful statement. So let me just ask you, because we only have like 2 or 3 minutes left, what do you think parents are doing wrong today in parenting?
I think we overparent. You know, our philosophy is really based, like, either we can be the facilitators of the individual process, really, who is this person, where are they at, or we can be dictators of, you know, the masses. We can say everyone should do this at this time. I got married in my 40s and I got a kid at 49, so I'm a late bloomer. And it's worked out for me. I think we have to stop over-parenting and nurture who our children are, not who we think they should be.
Right. That's pretty amazing. Well, real quickly, I want to make sure everyone knows where to find you. You can find Kari at kariwagnerpeck.com. That's kariwagnerpeck.com. We have better than that. We have a link on Mom Talk Radio where you can find her and hear more about her story and everything that all those decisions that she said she would never do and has done ultimately to create a lot of blessings in her life. So thank you so much, Kari, for joining us today. And I want to thank you for listening and tuning into Mom Talk Radio. We'll see you again next week, this time, this place. Have a great week, everyone.